Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail bro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black on black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth a crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail bro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, and that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Okay, no longer, by no further ado, here comes Brother Steve Cook.
Hotep. Appreciate you. Appreciate being here in Philadelphia again. Business in my hands. Unless you're dealing with the Africans, I don't deal with the whites, so it's never an equation. You got to take care of your business. Business is very important. We have made our scholars suffer because we have refused to take care of the business. And everybody else work their jobs and take care of their money. And then when we get to the black thing, it'll be something we do afterwards. But we got to make sure that our primary business is the business between us and each other. And that other business is secondary. Right. know what I mean? You
got some electricity up here, folks?
Right there. Hold on just a second. I got a long thin box over there. Let me have it in this gold tape over there. A lot of rollers outside now before I come in down here. Yeah, it's a tape player inside of the court. I've seen a lot of rollers rolling around. They all walking, talking and back. Whenever you be inside, you're always supposed to leave somebody on the outside. Because on the outside is what the rollers are thinking about what we're doing on the inside. And you always got to, always somebody got to sacrifice tonight for the bulk. And we got to keep people on guard. Part of what makes the whole thing work is while some are studying and some are working, others are guarding and protecting. But we can't all study at the same time, and we can't all guard at the same time. So you got to learn how to, everybody take their role. I appreciate the brothers who served tonight. I appreciate Brother Charles, who brought me here. Brother Hebrew, who stood in the doorway. I appreciate the brothers, the Brother Noah, who were here 2 hours before the program to be on post to serve, to do what it is that they have to do. I'm really glad to be here again. I haven't been in Philadelphia in about 2 years. And part of the reason that I was not brought here again is because something that the information does to break up the chain of what people get paid to make sure that people don't understand. What's the name of the black paper here?
The Tribune.
Last time I left here, I don't forget shit. Last time I left here, that paper wrote a very, very negative article about Brother Copley. And it was really over the boule. And basically what the paper said was that we really didn't need nobody to come in here to Philadelphia and to be spreading no information about the Black Secret Society besides Higginbotham. He's in it. So the way we look at it is he's really a group of good black men, and they deserve to be respected. And we don't need no retardo like Brother Copley coming up in here stirring up no mess. And they spent a lot of ink trivializing the dialogue. Now, on the other hand, if I was to let you in on my phone and look at my mailbox, you'll see mail and communication from all over the world, literally, of people trying to get access to the information that the brother has coordinated together, which is all publicly available to each and everyone who chose to organize it. So there appears to be a contradiction here. It appears to be some elements understand the desire to foster certain information because it has become restricted, while another trivializes the same information, alleging that everyone already knows it, no one really needs it, and besides, what are you going to do? We have these strange occurrences. I have the same problem. I'm banned on the black radio station in Washington, D.C. I'm banned on WOL, which then bought the station in Baltimore. So I'm banned in Baltimore and in Washington, D.C., all black people. I'm not banned because the information is illegitimate or somebody stood up and proved it wrong. They trivialize the dialogue. Who needs this type of stuff? On the other hand, Armstrong Williams, you may have seen him on Jerry Springer's show, the Rollo show, any show that needs a brother who loves to hunt him. He's been on it. He's replacing a lot of the other Renner brothers who they put on these shows. You might have seen a little bald-headed guy, Armstrong Williams. He's the business partner of Oprah Winfrey's boyfriend, Stedman Graham. They work for Caltech Oil Company. And they empower Africans in a 49%, 51% gas station proposition all throughout Africa. Brother who's in Africa, you may have seen the Caltech connection. Yeah, that's the brother right in D.C. who perpetrating that. The Black Republican connection. Whatever the fuck a Republican is. I don't know what these left, right, Republican, Democrat, Communist, Capitalist, bullshit. All of this bullshit. Just ain't about none of it. It's just diversion. A bunch of diversion to keep you away from certain information. So, sister says to me that they're really tired of hearing this conspiracy thing. And the people need jobs. The people need to have somebody go out there and do something. And I've seen the people do many things. And I've been confused about much of what I see the people do because much of it doesn't seem to be geared or focused at what we know to be the core of negativity. Yeah. If you want to know why you should be here tonight, is because brother stands against the core of negativity. This is a pursuit of the penetration of all that we think is unjust and unfair to our race since it has shown up on the planet. It has an accumulative negativity, and we call in the no do. Now, I don't know what others' goals are. Some, I believe, are making money, and that this is the ultimate goal of the operation. I believe, brother, the little money they make ain't worth no money at all. That's right. That little money they make, Oprah Winfrey, she's the richest black woman in America. But when the Jewish people told us Steve Coakley must be canceled from that show, I was canceled. So don't tell Brother Coakley when you get enough money, you're going to come out here and fight the beast, because there's not enough money on the table that can make her change her mind. So I doubt if when you get the money, you'll change yours. Check?
Check.
All right, check. As you know me, I understand. Check means I understand. I think we lost a little volume here. The gold tapes. There's some gold tapes in there. I'm thinking y'all got me covered. There's a gold tape. That box, that other box, little four little Maxell gold tapes that's in the box. Brand new, unopened. Just toss one at the brother. Now, some of y'all, and we lost a little volume here, I think. I don't want to put my mouth on too much of this stuff. Y'all see the gold tape in there? It's four Maxell. All right. Now, will Brother Coakley pass the hat for Brother Coakley? Because Brother Coakley don't mind standing up and asking people to support the program. You can just put it in. Then you people who are taping the program need to at least make a $5 contribution to cover your tape. I think I lost a little volume here. I don't know what happened. You stand on the court forever, bro. It's in there now. All right, there we go. Thank you, Brother Noah. Thank you, brother. Oh, yeah, there we go. Sure, you're right. All right, now I got to go back and repeat all this shit over again. Well, one thing I always do like to start with is I need to know if I'm needed. And how I know I'm needed is if I ask you certain things and you don't know those things, then I know you need what I have to offer. Usually I try to ask a couple of things I think are readily accessible to Africans. How many of y'all are going to love that one? Right, that's about everybody. Let the record reflect. That's about everybody. The lovers of Africa. We know them by how they protect Africa back. Check. Now, the U.S. government does a lot of devilment against Africa, and much of that devilment is instigated by the State Department. The State Department controls the various embassies in the various African countries, and the CIA works out of those embassies under diplomatic cover. Check?
Yeah.
Right. All right, so any African will surely know who the Undersecretary of State for African Affairs is. Go on. Boss. All right. Oh, let me ask y'all again. How many people here love Africa? All right. You talk to an African lady. They'll tell you. I say it all the time. African will tell you that the IMF and the World Bank, not the U.S. military, only in certain instances, the IMF and the World Bank are forcing the African countries into lowering wages and raising prices, which puts you at odds with your people. It's causing the destabilization of the countries. Let me just tone just a little bit down. Destabilization of the African countries. And so they'll tell you, will you Africans in America put pressure on those people who are punishing us through loan or debt arrangements? Check?
Check.
Check. Check. Check is fading on down. So the IMF and the World Bank would be two spots where Africans would pinpoint as imposing ugliness on Africa. Who runs the World Bank?
White man.
It's a white man. Check.
What is this?
Pardon me?
No, same guy.
Clausen.
What was his name?
Stems from the Rothschild family.
Clausen was the head of the World Bank. The name you are calling on is Michael Kamdesis, who is the head of the International Monetary Fund, which was one of the questions. You still got the World Bank left out there.
Yeah.
Illuminati. Someone said Rothschild.
Greenspan.
Greenspan. That's Federal Reserve. All right, now. Imagine I'm the hunky. I'm sitting up at the First Penn Foundation or some shit. Or sitting down in City Hall. Or I'm sitting up in the top of one of them pyramids down there. And they say, boy, they really getting big on the African thing out there. And they say, fuck it, man. They don't even know who the real African killers are. Check. Now, the reason I ask you that is to establish whether I'm supposed to be here or not. Because my problem is that I can't catch the Africans having their behavior meet their value system. Check.
Check.
Check. Which means that if your behavior matches your values, I mean, I see you. I see the African in you. But I challenge the African in you to go to the point for Africa and be what you say. Now, if I start bringing up the preachers, everybody would dog them out for not fighting the devil. And they don't. They don't ever advertise Devil Caught Live at Sunday at 11. You can come there and see the devil all caged up because they kicked the devil's ass during the week, and they're going to show you the ass they kicked on Sunday, which is what the Sunday was about, when you rest from kicking ass all the rest of the week. But you know they don't do that, right? Because they're not really in pursuit of anything. Check. But neither are you. You will tell Brother Copeland, I'm with you, brother. And you feel like you are. But for what the brother's focus is, you're not yet going to fill the void to get the ones who got to be gotten, the ones who must be threatened, the families who must be checked, remain unopposed in Philadelphia too. Check?
Check.
And this is part of why they didn't want me back. Because they know they have worked you into position that you think you know. And that's what makes you dangerous. Is that you will walk out and perpetrate against another from a zero position. And your zero will perpetrate on their zero, and somebody will be arguing over who the black is. And the hunky will get away. So brother, don't come in the spirit of forcing up some unity, because we're already unified by our stupidity. Now, I come at you like this because I want you to be what you say. That's all. If you say I ain't shit, then fine, I can live with that. I ain't shit either. You can live with mine. We can better adjust when we know where we stand. Marcus Garvey once said that the threat to the black community is the college educated. And as I go to these various colleges, from Morgan to Hampton to Howard, the University of Minnesota, University of Illinois, University of Cincinnati, UCLA, University of Kansas, I'll walk you around to all of them. They didn't know the answers either. Now, someone tell me, brother, we really need to cut out this conspiracy shit and go out here and get a job. Brother, you need to quit talking and go do something. And the suggestion is that the people have had the answers all along and have really tried the revolution, and the revolution hasn't worked out. But the revolution ain't never been tried because the enemy ain't never been the target. Check. That's the truth. And I will suggest this to you. The next time you go to follow somebody and y'all walk, you say, hold on, just a minute, brother. Let me ask you a question. Who is the enemy anyway? And if they don't give you a valid answer, you better step back. Because how will they fulfill their obligation that they pledged to the black people if they don't know who the plans must be transacted against? I mean, certain things get real logical when we need to draw some conclusions about all of this. And part of the reason, somewhere, the equation has come down when the wrong people have been perpetrated and the right people get castigated. And the people say, okay, that's all right. I can live with that. I put pressure on the people who sell the brothers' material. That's Brother Fogarty on the bootleg. Part of one of my reasons I came here was to clean up all of that, because Philadelphia is offline. Meaning offline is that we missed 4 or 5 sessions on the enemy since the last time I was here. We ain't gonna be able to do them all tonight. We'll be able to jam it all into one evening. But the point of it is that somebody around here know enough to keep it out. Last time I came, I couldn't get in on black radio. I was denied. They said, we won't happen. They put Jack Felder on. And then beat Jack Felder up over me as if he can answer to me. To them. And that was a bad move. So something about you here, and they don't want something. But you've been moving in spite of that because I have talked with you. And I'll say this to those people who have sold those tapes without my permission. On the other hand, some of you have come because of them. Because you have found access to something through other people, it has brought you forward for more. So in the long run, if it has any value, you'll show up anyway, in spite of how you were found. So we're going to get straight with all of that. We're going to clean all of that up. And we're going to move forward because we're not going to win this thing dishonorably. I ain't going to get with brother and say how I cheated on my woman because tonight my sister and baby ain't here with me. And tonight I'm going to go run off in the hotel with a sister and brother's going to stand point while I do the coochie. And then at the end I'm going to say, brother, trust me, we're going to beat the hunky. It's not going to work. It's not going to work, brothers. It's not going to work. If you cheat on the one you love, then you will always fuck the people. So what must be merged with the facts is a force that has a moral context to it. Not a religious context, but a moral context of which religion could be a part of its voice myth, but a mere circumstance of one's keeping the word that one pledged to give. Now what I come to understand that I didn't know before is that the oath takers, are far better organized and have a force that's backed up with fear. I underestimated the oath takers. Anybody up here in the Greek fraternity or sorority? Anybody? Anybody up here? Trying to decide, you're going to raise their hand. Anybody up here in the Greek fraternity or sorority? Come on now, I got pictures of some of y'all. Come on now, get up. Come on, where we at? Somebody, come on up here real quick to Brother Copeland so we can show the people something. Is anybody up here in the fraternity or sorority? Don't finger nobody else now. Don't stand up. Come on up here, brother. Come on up here real quick. I ain't gonna bite you, and I won't break honor with the brother, because brother to brother is stronger than any other thing. So we be true on that. How you doing, Alpha? Show you right. What you in?
Captain Alpha.
Captain Alpha. Okay. You know what I'm gonna ask you to do? What I'm gonna ask you to do?
You want to shoot?
Can you show the shades to the office?
Get it up. Get it up.
You say yes, you can?
Yeah, I can.
Go ahead.
Yes?
Yes. Then I'm supposed to do something. And then you would do?
That's it.
All right. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
All right.
All right. Demonstration, I do it in every city for a particular reason. We just left Detroit. In fact, I got only maybe 2-3 lectures I just gave in Detroit. It's kind of like the whole weekend. I didn't sell it to anybody because I was going to explain it in the lecture. It just allows someone, when I have 2-3 lectures, Detroit was offline too, so I paid $1,300 to go up into Detroit. And the G7 was meeting up there too last weekend. Because I had to be up in there to see what the G7, why the G7 came to Detroit and hold a meeting on jobs, and they just laid out 200,000 people up there, out them auto things, right? And that's an interesting thing. It said jobs can mess up the national security. Lack of jobs or lack of people thinking they should get a job would destabilize the population. That's really what they talked about, not about giving jobs. They pass out applications. Anyway, and I do this demonstration to check the oath takers, because when we do a little bit about the Grecian Sphinx, and I'm going to put certain things here on video that I want to get on this video so that you will support the brother in the sharing. What brother Noah? All right. I promised Brother Noah that I would suggest to you to make sure you get into this, because some of these things I'm going to put on the screen. And they're visual things that will allow you to show certain things. I was just telling him, Brother Noah, about getting the video subsequent to this because of what it will try to do. We are calling on the oath takers because we believe that there should be no oath that they take that should separate us from them.
That's correct.
And sometimes when I ask to them to show to the audience the handshake, some resist and they suggest that they fear, based upon the pledge that they took never to reveal it, of being hurt or castigated by another member who would see them do that. In Dallas, I asked a brother to come up, and he didn't want to show it. He sat down, and then another brother just jumped out the audience. He said, I'll show mine, and he came up and showed it. People stood up and gave him a 10-minute standing ovation. I mean, it was awesome thing. It was really chilling. So at the end of that, we went to intermission. We selling tapes and doing other things. The brother come up and said, "Brother, when the intermission is over, will you give me one more chance to come up front?" It's okay, brother. No problem, no problem. So I went on about my business. I'm selling the tapes, and brother comes up, reminds me again, "Will you give me this opportunity?" I said, "Sure, brother. Okay, fine, fine, fine." And when I started up after intermission, I just went on really right past him, and he was sitting down with me, come on up in the front, and he gave the demonstration, and he showed the handshake. And I asked him why, and I just went back to Texas, Brother Charles. He was at the lecture at Fort Worth. I asked him why, and he said, the people made it safe for this brother to cross over. And since the people did what they needed to do to protect him, I now know I can come over. So we have to be in an understanding of the oath takers. Now, if the Greeks take the oath, the four male, the four female take the oath, and the Boule take the oath. In fact, I was saying, is that a VCR up there, Brother Noah? Is that a VCR? That TV, will that show something? I got something I can show the audience. You might want on a video of some Boule activity on video. You might want to see this. Real subtle type of thing. And I think after I go an hour, I'm going to break for about 15 minutes so I can get this set up for you and then go to we got to go. It'll be a minute before I get to it, but just take the time. It won't be a rush. I ain't pressing you. We also know that the attorney's taking over. Is there any lawyers in here tonight? Any lawyers? The lawyers already know the information, so they're not here tonight. They take an oath. They take an oath never to oppose the Constitution. They'll never overthrow the law of which they agree to uphold. They become officers of the court. So they take in a pledge. They take in an oath never to... When you're in the Army, you take an oath, Chet. In fact, I even found that there's a tenet in the Army thing that suggests that you even hear someone suggest the overthrow of the U.S. government, you're supposed to report them in, Chet. All right, that's an oath. That's an oath. The little medical people take an oath, right? It's like them versus the vitamin people. Check. I will never support anything of which we cannot sell for 100 times these cars. Check. Right? They don't break out that shit either. They said that don't have a heart attack cost you $30,000.
Right.
That's without any surgery. That's just you leave an emergency room, it costs $7,000. I mean, this is unbelievable shit, right? But they got it going on. Okay, so we got all these oath takers out here, and the oath takers are a threat to the black revolution. And so we put pressure on the oath taker. What we've been doing since I've seen you last, we've been going through these various campuses and telling the Greek thing that we really like to suggest some change. Because the Greek thing, like many of the other false idol worships, sow the seeds of inferiority in the children. What's wrong with the Boule thing? What's wrong with the Boule thing is that it gives honor to the Greek thing. It's a little revive in here. I'm trying to cut that back, I think. Just one more notch down. Too close to the speakers. Where the speaker at? Well, it's false. we all right? We're not tape? Because when you need to change, let me know, because... All right. We're putting pressure on the oath takers Because, and I want you to write that down, because the police take them over. And then they think it's the fraternal order of police. They all locked in on something. So we're, you know, we're in need to get into the Masonic Oath, the Rhodes Scholar Oath, the Skull and Bones Oath, the Boulay Oath. We found out that the Boulay are not allowed to talk to non-members. So you can't get them to answer something you suggest because they're not allowed. And brothers told me about catching good on the radio over the Boulay, and that's an honor. A sister Karen of the Black United Front just caught Dennis Archer, mayor of Detroit, busted his ass in front of 400 people at a community forum, and he's stunning and stammering and holding and hard. We've got up on Governor Wilder on the black radio station in Chicago. He acted like me and him was real good buddies, you know? And he would have been an elector, but he was busy and shit. The governor been, you know? We had some brothers jam up Charles Hamilton, who co-wrote Black Power with Kwame Ture. He was on Bob Law's show one night, the little brothers in New York jammed him back on the Boulay. To the point Bob Law got pissed, why y'all keep messing up my show with this Boulay dialogue? He said, wait, I ain't never heard of this thing. It's irrelevant. And then the 10th brother said, well, brother, it is relevant because this is about serving the king. And so we question his ability to write Black Power, understanding he's with the king. And so he said, Steve Coakley is the one taught us about this at the Slave Theater. He said, well, I'll get him on here. I don't want nobody calling in here for this Boulay shit. But he ain't had me on either over the Boulay question. In fact, I couldn't be on WLIB in New York. Fly! The black state, the number one black station in the country, they tell me. Not black enough for Brother Coakley. Pity, little brother. Two pairs of shoes, three pairs of pants, no car, no house, no obvious weapons. David Dinkins.
Percy
Sutton. In fact, brother.
Percy Sutton, no.
In fact, check this out here, brother. Watch this here. You called it up.
Yeah.
David Dinkins called Percy Sutton and said, we want that Coakley canceled on LIB with Gary Bird.
He ain't the only one who canceled.
Percy Sutton called the station and they bust me out. I was off. When I went to the Slave Theater, Brother Vernon May dresses it from the podium. Why was Steve Coakley taken off the so-called black station? This is a phenomenon I ain't figured out because it ain't like the people got the goods. Unless these people, these black press people, maybe these radio people, maybe they know enough about it never to utter it, maybe they took the oath too. See, I'm looking at the impact of the denial of the knowledge and the castigation of the scholars. Now, other people are on C-SPAN. They on CNN. They on every show. They on the news. They on everything. And if you listen carefully, you'll know why. Because they don't accuse anybody of anything. It's no thicker or no deeper than the white man did. We're suffering from generalities. The white man did it is not enough. It's not enough for Francis Wells Wilson to describe white supremacy. We must name white supremacy.
Right. Yes.
Or we must rule it foreplay and call for sex. I'd rather have you say check.
Yeah.
I ain't doing it for applause. Now, when brother says these things, I stand up to these people that I say them to. I've addressed them long before I brought it to you. Their answers make me tell you. Once I see that they understand that there is a line you're not to cross to make money in the black community and to be allowed to move around without being attacked. Some people fear the attack. In fact, some people pledge they believe, but they fear the enemy greater than they do, not upholding the tenets of the belief. You see, I'm afraid of not telling. I'm afraid of not sharing. I'm afraid of you calling me and me not answering. I ain't been to Philly because someone offered and said I ain't even got no money. I don't come for that. Check?
Check.
No one asked. Now, I understand the difference. But I get a funny feeling that unless we come to some conclusion about who is in control,
we're going to get distracted into the concentration camp. Now, you may say maybe not. And I guess, let me get some of my equipment over here. And these, I don't mean to trivialize it like that, brothers. If I could kindly have, if you see any information, just flip the boxes and see if you see any information. I think, actually, some of it may be here. But I also think there's one more box. There's one long box. Got nothing but knowledge in it. Short, long box. No, this one still might be in the car even. Should have been. Oh, here. Is this it? Right here. There we go. There we go. There we go. There we go. And I'm not saying that to put nobody down. We just up the ante a little bit here. We gotta get the order straight now. We're a community that's under attack, that's out of order. And because it's out of order, because we out of order, we may give the enemy the wrong signal. We must not give the enemy the wrong signal at a critical moment, because he may attack, because he thinks this is his moment. Now, you got another group of people, many of which have never seen the enemy. Show you a little dialogue between myself and share with you a little dialogue between myself and Jesse Jackson on the radio over who is the enemy. What is the enemy? You will be intrigued by the answer. But what you will see about the answer is that he cannot name it. I know it's like laying somebody up a ball and all they gotta do is spike it over the net, and when they go and then they catch it and throw it back the other way. So it ain't no accident yet. And I believe that there are more people in on this than we've ever come to imagine. I believe this is deeper than we thought. I've spent a lot of my last couple of months reading Negro stuff. I never into the Negro books and stuff, Negro history and stuff. But now that we come to understand the Boulay's role in protecting the Round Table Group, I now have to go back and see just how this thing got put in place. I did a series of tapes called White Finance, Negro Leadership versus Marcus Garvey, and Black Jewish Relations 93, where I watched the development of this thing, and I stand up to say that the Boulay first assignment was the strangulation of Marcus Garvey, the creation of a false scenario called Harlem Renaissance, and the diversion of black scientists and others to get into poetry, dance, and literature to offset an emerging black military. Very, very intense research. I'll tell you some books you might check in on right now. Also, there's a tape up there called What's Your Mother's Maiden Name? Boulay. It's a recent code we just deciphered. I'm going to show you that right here. But the tape is about some recent Negro history stuff I found. I think one person bought the tape. If you're a researcher, you will find how valuable it is at piecing all these things together. I found some information with Carter G. Woodson talking about how other of the blacks have sold out to the various white foundations that were buying up Negroes at that time. And he said one of the things they asked him was, will you fuck Marcus Garvey when I give you this money? And he said how secretly he never wanted to say he was with Garvey, but how personally he would never be a part of fighting against him. And he talks about meetings with A. Philip Randolph and Du Bois and others where they vehemently said how they was going to jam up Garvey. And he said how much he heard him. He said, when Garvey died, I cried, and then it is in my eulogy to Garvey, I finally tell how much I loved him. And then I write in the Negro World. He starts writing in the Negro World, sharing his work with them. Eventually, he wrote The Miseducation of the Negro, because he then came to understand that he had been used, that the college train phenomenon was a hoax. Now, he was the founder of the Boulay in Washington, D.C., so he came a long way to come to that conclusion. What we now have within our reach is the ability to make up our mind and not take 40 years to do it, because we've got the information that he had that quickly showed him what the real deal was. Du Bois eventually changed his mind after years of being the same. The book by Goggins, G-O-G-G-I-N-S, on Carter G. Woodson. I know you can get it at Everyone's Place bookstore in Baltimore. No Brother Nati got this book. It's a book about Carter G. Woodson. It talks about the Rockefeller Foundation, the Rosenwalds, and others, and how he keeps trying to do this thing. He tries to help them help his history association, but they keep saying, look, you got to lick my balls to get this money. And he keeps writing his personal letters about how much he hates the others who have taken the money that make the hockey think he got to take the money too, to go along, because there was no black financing of black things. That was awesome. Awesome dialogue. There's also a new book out about W.E.B. Du Bois by David Levering Lewis. Thick book, 700 pages, a very, very important book. Very, very important because
Nowhere in the 700 pages does he mention the Boule in the whole book. But, check this out. When he does the interview on the book in the Washington Post, and I got to tell you the dates, right? But this article is awesome. He talks about that he heard Du Bois personally in 1948 speak at Central State University, where the Boule was hosting a meeting because his father was in the Boule, David Levering Lewis. And that his father was head of the School of Divinity at Central State, and that he, as a Boule child, was at the convention and heard W.E.B. Du Bois in 48 say, this talented temp shit don't work. We was a fraud. I helped mislead my own people, the honky betrayers. I'll show you some stuff in that white finance Negro leadership tape on Garvey, where the Jewish community set it up and plotted why it would go into the black community and be a donor to get a right to assimilate with the other whites. And for that, they would fight anti-Semitism by remote control. Because we get the money, we can fight it like click-click. Awesome confessions. So the work, in fact, the key story was this Memphis Commercial Appeal story that came out back in a year ago, about in March, right now. Year ago, and I asked brothers, had the story come out much here? And he said, no. You familiar with the story that had come out that the Army had been spying on Martin King's granddaddy since 1917? You remember the story, maybe March 23rd, 1993? You heard about this?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll have to spend a day on it because it helped me understand something. What the story identified was a Philadelphia family. Key. A guy named Emmett Scott. Yeah. Emmett Scott, who had a son who was a physician here in Philadelphia, who was the father of Elaine Brown of the Black Panthers. She mentions it in her book on page 50. She mentions, that's it, Brother John's got it right there. On page 50 of that book, she mentions that Emmett Scott, the first black man to serve in the cabinet in 1917, he was special assistant to the Secretary of War, Newton Baker. Emmett Scott had come from Tuskegee, where he was the assistant to R.R. Moulton, who was on ship when the Tuskegee experiment went down. All this shit hooks up now. Oh, I walk you. I don't have time to go all this route with you, but this is where I am lately. I have a need sometimes to talk out to the people where I'm studying, because many times it's not at the spot I'm lecturing. The lessons you miss, I really shouldn't be into this, but I'm kind of excited about it, so I got to tell you where I am, because when I suggest these things to you and you pick up the theme, you bring information that adds on to where I'm looking and the picture gets clear. And that's an honorable thing. I say in the tape, I need an overhead projector. So when I'm in Los Angeles, I go to little students, bring an overhead projector and present it to me as a gift at a lecture. Well, I couldn't carry it with me on the airplane, so I donated it to the place I lecture in LA, the Good Life Health Food Store. So now that's available for everybody. Someone in Philadelphia, here's a tape, but says he needs an overhead projector. So tonight, a brother bought me a brand new overhead projector, which he's going to give to me tonight. And I'm honored by that. So I don't underestimate what it means to say it into the tape to the people, because the people respond. When the focus comes down, the people do what has to be done. And if everybody does what they can do, we got it covered. If you catch the ones in your thing, in your sphere, everybody catch theirs, we got it covered. You know, the CIA has a thing. There's another set of tapes you missed. It's called Future Goals of the Spy System, the Early Warning Officer, Spy System 2000, the Targeting of the Poor. I had that over there tonight. And the other one I didn't bring is How the Intelligence Community Monitors Networks and Groups. Pardon me?
I was looking for that and I didn't find it.
Right, brother. I only could bring some of them. I've been selling out at every stop, so I don't get as much time between lectures to make the tape. So that's something else we got to widen out on is making tapes. It's an honor to be in this position. Things are moving. It appears as if circumstances are forcing the people to a clear picture. And it's an honor to be in the vanguard of pushing towards the core negativity, because my greatest dream that I see just as clearly is the day we hold that beast head up and we pull out the big sword and make that cut. And everybody steps up and takes a little slice. You come up and get your slice. You know, I see that day. I see people as far as I can see. And this is the day the beasts go down. And I just a little sidebar. The keepers of the beasts are Rockefeller of North America. Because we're going to name them.
Rothschild for the Europeans, and Oppenheimer for the Africans and the Australians. Those three families perform the triangle around the core of negativity, of which I don't have no name for. I cannot tell you what that is. But we string two or three of them up there, Jeff. The police have shown you that we're threatened with incarceration or pain, you will tell on anybody. Check.
Check.
You're supposed to say no check. Yeah, all right. Hey, watch it now. I'm on no Jim Jones shit here. Y'all be with me, you got to think your way through. Question my shit. Check me out. Go check the books. His brother when he says this about this one or that one. Is he wrong about this? Is the information really there? Check me out, don't. Hey, we have all tested the error. That's why we all here. So all of us can be checked. That's part of the game. And I take the weight. I'll bear the burden. Be no greater burden to bear. We be in line with that. So get that book on W.B. Du Bois, David Levering Lewis, because in it he tells about the day that Spingard comes and offers him to be a captain in military intelligence. And what the story said in the Memphis Commercial Appeal was that Spingard had been a military spy every day he was chairman of the NAACP. He'd even turned over all the memberships of the group, and that Du Bois was his man. And that together they went out and formed a spy network that identified potential troublemakers and also suggested potential informants. And the Boule served as the network in every city to set up a spy organization. That's what we were able to put together with the Memphis Commercial Appeal story. So how I got banned on the radio in D.C. was that Kathy Hughes has the story reprinted 25,000 times in the newspaper there, the News Dimension. It was a great thing. They sold 30,000 copies at 25 cents. Really helped the brothers' paper. It was an outstanding achievement. But the story was about everything already passed. And I know enough about the intelligence community to know that when it wants to tell something, it always tells you about things already passed. Coin Intel Pro, not now Intel Pro. They will tell you who they radiated in the 40s, but it's a secret. You got to catch the 94 radiation. You got to catch them. It'll be 124 for their cell on the 94 beacon. Check. So when somebody starts telling me about 1917 and 1968, that's where it ended. I understand that that's part of the diversion to stop you from 98 and 88. Check. Check. And then those three spy tapes, which really needs to be a lecture in itself, I talk about where we notice that the CIA has this little model that they use to measure a true threat. And it's called intention plus capability equals threat. It's a formula. They got all kind of A's and Pythagorean shit, all stolen shit, all up under there. Because this is a computer model that they use to measure information. For example, they say, black man, Miller, Philadelphia, wants to free Mandela. Check up his, that's intention. Threat. Appears to lack resources to get a plane ticket. Equals capability. Threat equals zero. Okay? So they listen to the dialogue and they measure the capability of imposing the dialogue, and that equals your threat potential. Check? And they have all kinds of sophisticated ways of breaking this down, measuring the informant and this and that. An intention is measured by indicators. Coakley announces in Philadelphia that if he's having a conference in Baltimore, and I am, and I'm inviting all of you to it, July 8th to July 15th, it's going to be at the Hyatt Regency Harbor, wherever the Hyatt Harbor is, right there in Baltimore.
Inner Harbor,
Hyatt Regency. July 8th to July 15th. Write it down now.
And the Sheraton.
Get it all there together. And the convention, it appears as if that the rooms we rented also just happened to have been rented by the Boule. And it looks like, for some strange reason, it must be a hotel mix-up. But it looks like we're going to have our conference in the same room. And in fact, in the 90 years since its inception right here in Philadelphia, it appears as if that for the first time in the history of our race here in America, the bottom 10 is going to confront the top 10. That's what's getting ready, the 10 versus the 10. It's about to show down. in Baltimore, July 8th. Some of y'all interested in coming. Now, part of the reason why we have to be strong about Philly, I'm coming back next month, I'm coming back month after next, is because it's going to be harder for California to get here, but they're coming. And Milwaukee, they already rented 3 buses, a county commissioner, who's a non-Boulay politician. See, when I looked up, the only Boulay mayor that was king mayor, 2 men that weren't Boulay were Harold Washington, who was murdered after his second victory in office. He was a non-Boulay mayor. He had 99.9% of the black vote. Unconscionable achievement in a town with a hunky tab paper on 50% of the brothers. Because they own brothers up in there on that politics thing. That was their way to the streets and sanitation, to the Bureau of Electricity, to the Department of Streets and Sanitation, Water and other things. Their jobs came from the politics. So they were owned by the politics. Harold Washington and Marion Barry. And isn't it intriguing that you remember when Wilson Good said, when he wrote his autobiography, he said, if I had not defended those men that shot down those black people in the move, I was clearly understood that they would kill me. Did you see that in his autobiography? That's in the book he wrote after he left office.
But he's just a joke.
But and it's something similar to him and Bradley, who had never talked to his own police chief for a year and a half, let the hunky run out on his own. See, a hunky wouldn't be working in my city like that. He'd be serving my shit. He'd be serving you. He'd never be running around with his own military in my town. And when Bradley left office, he didn't have nobody he was even grooming. He'd been mayor 20-some years, and a hunky come in replace him. He had no brother he brought around in his last 2-3 years, start grooming him and setting him out front, sending him to the community and lining him up. Nothing. Because he never read it from brothers. So he didn't believe brothers were supposed to keep it. It's him to give it back to the hunky. But Dinkins, he is a Boulay.
Yep.
Half Hispanic, half white, half black, and half of both short. Check. So when I go to be on LIB, Dinkins calls Sutton and says Coley will stir up racial hatred in New York.
Yeah.
So LIB, they get burned by the hunkies anyway, supposedly for spewing anti-Semitism, and every time I go up there, a 20-minute disclaimer. We're not anti-Semitic. Oh, please, we're not anti-Semitic. We're in no way appear to be anti-Semitic. We really love them. And all this disclaiming shit, banging up and violence to the hunky. Something's going on here. I'm a little worried about the ones who were supposed to have given the knowledge, which would have made my job unnecessary. It's unfortunate I must do this. I really want to do something else. But unless the people are armed with the appropriate poison on the right spears, we ain't going to get the wizards. We're going to end up off in the OEO boys somewhere. And don't go pull the curtain on the wizard, which is where we're headed. Because we have a theory that when we pull the curtain on the wizard, he'll fall. But we got to get past the OEO boys. And that's the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, the county sheriffs in this area, the Philadelphia police, the National Guard, that's the military, the OEO boys. They protect the wizard. And you remember, there was a Wicked Witch of the West. That's America. Women just happen to be right here up in her shit, and she greets you in New York like this. Right? That's the Wicked Witch of the West. The most powerful of all the whites. She won the war amongst the whites, so I believe it's an honor to be right here in the core of the beast. I believe it's an honor to be here, because this is where the baddest hunky ever was, is no better hunky to be. And be the hunky is the goal, nothing less. I'm not here to inform you on shit white people doing or to jack you up and incite you about the Boulay. The goal is to defeat the wizard. And for that, we must know the combination of getting through the odds. And if you remember, almost like a parable, like whoever wrote this shit knew, also in the land of Oz was some little black shit with wings. That's the Boulay. And that's just the way they logo look. It's the damn Grecian Sphinx. And it got wings on it. And it looks like whoever wrote this shit knew just who protected the wizard. But we know the story. And the story is that many people have the information, they say. But they lack the courage to push it in the arena and make the difference.
Right.
Check?
Check.
Other people need a heart. Some sort of way of gutting up on the information, that's that thing we need with each other. See, if we lock down
in each other's hearts, no one will tell who's with us. When I go in some of these cities, some of the strangest people come to me and say, brother, I support you. Now I look at them, I said, damn, you cannot look at a person and tell who the person is. That's because we locked up in here. Hey, who else was on that journey?
Hey,
what he want?
A brain.
And then to wrap the shit up, she wanted to take it home, right? You take the shit home when you get all of this shit. But just remember what happened when you get to the curtain. It's getting to the curtain. Now, Jesse Jackson got the people confused about the role of the youth. He suggests after 500 years of exploitation of this country, our number one problem is gangster rap. The sound is what? All right. Messing them tape players up over there. So he would have you believe that. Now let me do two things at once. When that Memphis Commercial Appeal story came down, they had Dick Gregory on the radio every day with Kathy Hughes, and they were talking about the Memphis Commercial Appeal story, and I wanted to call in and say that Emmett Scott, the guy who helped coordinate this spy thing, eventually became the grandsire archon of the Boule. And that I had just read Elaine Brown's book, and she talks about how they were bougie. And wouldn't even honor her, the product of an illegitimate relationship between her father and a prostitute. And she gives a whole history about her family selling her out. And then she also says, I was always wondering why the others got killed and I didn't. Because when you're a Sigma Pi Phi member, you have a protection as well. Ultimate protection that you might not ever understand that the enemy is for being a part of the network. That's what David Levin Lewis said. I saw Du Bois in Central State. He said, I saw him in Central State. And he said the child's attempt didn't work. And then he goes through a whole thing about explaining what the Boule is, but when he wrote his book, he left it out. Why? What happened there? And why did he owe it to the post but not to the people? Some of them confused me there. So when I had Dick Gregory on the tape, and I got a little sound bite up, I said, Dick, who... do you know about the Boule? Dick Gregory said, no, I never heard of that. Now, I know Dick well enough that when you say something like that, he says, well, can you give me something more than that? Can I just share it with me? What's up with this? They cut me cold and curt. We don't really, someone else said over him, we don't really need any of that here. This story, let's confine this to the Memphis Commercial Appeal story. And all I did was took that story and ran it through the pattern of the secret societies. And I was being repudiated for running across the grid. Meaning I don't care what diversion they bring up, I'll bring it back to the core negativity. That's my skill as an organizer. All information already comes off ain't the one group running it. And don't get confused by all these different flags that are on the one group in town. Anyway, so the next day I went to the Howard Inn and was eating in a cafe there, and Dick Gregory came in. He was staying in the hotel, and when he came in, he said, Brother Dick, it's Brother Cole here. He said, oh, yes, I think I better sit down and talk with you. And he said, you know, I said today and yesterday I didn't know about the Boule. In fact, he even came to the lecture right after that because he came to the lecture the next night after we had this talk to listen to us talk about the Memphis Commercial Appeal story. And I didn't bring that tape tonight, but it's a very interesting tape. I didn't know about that Boule thing, but I need to tell you I'm an alpha. And he said, and I said, yeah, that's interesting because the guy who wrote the Boule history book, Charles Wesley, he wrote the alpha history book. He said, I know. Now that let me know that he did know about the Boule. He just could not say it. But then he turns to me and he says, I want to tell you this. He said, I never revealed the handshake to my wife or to any of my 17 kids.
That's right.
And I ain't gonna reveal it to you. And you need to understand why. If you can understand what prohibits me from doing it, and you understand the power of the oath, you will unlock a key that will release thousands to the cause. He said, but as of now, I ain't telling. And that was a challenge to me to make me go back and look at that thing again. I must have missed something. And that's when I started asking at the lecture, let me see this here. And then I saw the denial and the resistance. They would say, brother, You are in the forefront of helping black people, but I can't do this. And in some cases, I have one in Chicago where a brother who was very ambitious in the black community, he just happened to be a cop or two, and he said, look, I feel Copley more than I feel the fraternity. He did the handshake. And then the Capital brothers literally jumped him in the back of the room over doing it. And the people took care of the brother. But we're going to go through this while cleaning this up.
Now, I needed this tape. I want to play a tape for you. I need a box there. I got two little boxes in the box with little sound bites in them. What time we got here?
8:15.
All right, which nation is this? This the African nation? Then prove the African way. Now I want to play a little something for you. I haven't seen you since the rebellion. I need you to do a favor for me. When you look through there, find the recent Boule stuff that we got out of Boule meeting with the, all I want to show that first. We got a tip from a Philadelphia Boule member to show you how strange it is. How we walked in on the Boule's regional meeting that was held at the Ritz-Carlton in Pentagon City, Virginia. It was held September 26th to September 29th. We walked right in on it. And we got a tip from a Boule member right here in Philly. He tipped us to it. And there's a suggestion that all of them ain't with it as much as they look like. So some of them have been telling on themselves. Intriguing phenomenon. It usually has when people see a force arise and they fear the force, they begin to live in both worlds. So they don't want to get caught wrong on either side. They're liable to get it both ways. So they tend to start the process, and that's part of the process. I'm going to play you something. This happened right after the rebellion. I was really interested in the rebellion. I didn't bring the tape that I did Riot Report, an analysis of the rebellion. Very interesting things I put on there. One of the things I put on there was about the role of the youth, because Reverend Jackson will confuse you about what the youth's real role is. You see, as they have these summits around the country, what happens after the summits is that the youth ask to refocus on a new enemy. So what happens is they say, well, call Brother Copley out the dugout and let him come down here on the field and show us who's in control. We'd like to work on that as a new focus since we're not going to do each other. This is a very quiet thing. Now, someone listens to gangster rap and they really think it's about disrespecting the system. But if you listen carefully, it's really about fuck the police. It's about get the hunky. And it's a threatening thing because the youth who have no stake in the system are the most probable element that will rise up and fight the hunky to the death. I suggest that many of you who are righteous will delay it. For in your comfort, there's no real need to push it to the edge. The hungry need it now. And one day you're going to find yourself chased around your own community by the hungry who will call you the enemy, the righteous, for holding it back. You have time to think this out. They have no time. They're on the line, and they're losing, and they need help now. And unless you give them direct help, they want the egg on the move. And so don't get caught as an enemy to the move, thinking you're really on it. That could be the greatest thing, and you were confused and punishment. So, in the middle of the rebellion, which was a circumstance, this brother here has the raffle. We're raffling off that Boule video with myself and Oscar Quayle, who comes in for the last 20 minutes decodifying the symbols. And I really appreciate Brother Rope made a sign and everything. I'm really honored by you, brother, and I appreciate this stuff. Now, this brother, another research brother, has really been on the case and on the point for following the enemy. And I'm really proud of this because in heavy city, the information cadres have arisen that are focused, and in spite of the distraction, their numbers are growing. And the information is, you get a chill when you find shit. You know, I'm in the library, I find some shit, ah, shit, I got it. And I look up and everybody's
nice little quiet and shit. Let me read and excite them. I'm all.
You know, so yes. You get that feeling yes. When you're tracking the beast. What is these are clues to the mystery of the beast. Yes. And this is exciting. And when you feel this thing, it makes you go deeper. And I'm gonna tell you something. I'm forced to say this. And I must be humbled by it. But I do this with you. You take what's on that table. I match what's on that table as far as penetrating the forces of the enemy against any other such description. Now, if that in a contest or a trial turns out to be the most penetrating moment, why was the ones with the least money able to do it? One simple factor. They wanted to. They wanted to. The reason we got pinned the tail on the hunky was because we wanted to. And I suggest those with money could have done it sooner and better, but they don't want to. That's right. Now, so you're right. Now remember this. If you go to watch the Philadelphia Phillies play a baseball game, there's a guy sitting over at the third base coach line, right? He's standing there doing this. Every time a batter come up, he go. You know what he's doing? He's giving a signal to the batter, right? Everybody in the stadium see him, right? But don't but 30 guys know what he's saying. So when you confront the secret societies, they will suggest to you that what they do is not secret. And you must come to understand it doesn't have to be if you don't know the code. They can do it right in front of you. If you don't know that the signal, if this is blunt, if this is tape, if this is steel, but it's keyed by whatever I do after I touch my ear is what you do. So a guy does the hat, he does the steel, he does the tape, he does them all, but then he does the ear and does the hat, and that's the deal. Check?
Check.
So a secret society doesn't have to hide the communication, they just have to protect the code. All right? We're now trying to penetrate the enemy, and we're at this layer of the enemy. What you will vouch for if you watch my years on the tapes, you will vouch for the depth of the penetration. I know more about the Boulay now than I knew when I was here last. But if you had caught last year's lesson, you would have found out I knew more than the year before, and I know more now than I knew just a month ago. Because all we do when we're not doing this and moving the action into the arena to force a better circumstance is coming up with better formulas and equations on the penetration of the enemy. And we're proud of the work. Jesse Jackson, after the rebellion on a DC radio show, suggesting that he just want to have a meeting of all the leaders.
Session, the one that gets people to Facebook, to coordinate, people with Africa. From St. Louis, from East St. Louis, from Kansas City, from Seattle, from LA, from New York, from Maryland, from Virginia, from South Carolina, all of them their own way were marching and protesting and making statements and press conferences. It was some feeble attempt to coordinate our activities, and the group that did come begin to lay out some plan of action that they are now taking back to the federal community. And there will be more meetings, I am sure. And nobody is denied the right to have a meeting.
Now, the finding or the recommendations from that meeting are available to
everybody.
And people can get them by calling.
Well, you can call at any board at 728-1180. And basically, what the first issue there was to coordinate a calendar of known protests around the country.
Did you hear that? What did he say?
Coordinate a calendar of all known protests around the United
States. What did he say, brother?
Want to coordinate a calendar of all known protests around the United States.
Right. Yeah, you might not know a spot thing when you hear it, but you need to hear it because sometimes it disguises other things. Let me let you hear it again.
And basically, what we, the first issue there was to coordinate a calendar of known protests around the country. Now, there are a lot of activities taking place. The folks are having 50 little bit of things. They're trying to have bigger events, bigger protests. Second is...
Well, what happened was, once he coordinated the calendar, there was never no more protests. It just went away. Be careful of this dangerous word called unity. I'm a little worried about this word. You see, I can't unify with somebody unless we agree to who the enemy is, because it could get confusing. We don't want to be confused. The confusing part is that we don't agree who the enemy is, then how can we unify? Because at some point his assistance or something you do may conflict with the goals of our unity. See, with unity, we say we pledge to beat the enemy. But if you're in the unit in a coalition and somebody on the Rockefeller Foundation grant you got to fuck Rockefeller, now you're in a problem. You got a contradiction. Check?
Yes.
So be leery of this word unity. There'll be no unity around immorality. Okay. Jackson 1. Now let's go to Jackson and Steve Coakley on who is the enemy. After this guy, I want to tell Brother Jackson, I don't know about this protest and this marching and shit. I don't think it works. So he's going through a diatribe about telling the guy about how important marching is. And then I'm the next caller, and I raise a question about who is the enemy.
Who is the biggest problem? In other words.
All right. So you're right.
People march down the street or walk down the street, that's one kind of endeavor. That makes one kind of political statement. If 10,000 march, it's another kind of statement. That is common. That's numbers. That's how people marching. If today 10,000 folks march down the street, march in lockstep, they cannot be ignored because of that power in groups and that power in discipline activities.
Saturday night crosstalk, you're on the air.
Yes, I think what the caller was alluding to is that too often when the people march, other people step in behind them and usurp that power that they have just then developed and use it and reach out there for other means, and in some cases for personal anti-drive. It becomes for us to raise the whole question of whether or not voting, registering to vote, and voting will deliver for our people what we need to gain from the ones who are in power. Now we need a power announcement. If we have any black meetings over what we were going to do as a race, I will add that the reason we keep coming up with the wrong equation is that we will not focus on who really has the power. Should we walk on George Bush or should we walk on Rockefeller? Should we jump up into the Council on Foreign Relations meeting and demand a change in the worldview of the U.S. government, or should we go change the State Department? Should we get the ones at the top, or should we change the operators that they continuously send to us, the buffer between us and the ones that have the power? And in our community, the real problem develops when we're forced to come up, who are we after? If someone says we need the Ford Foundation, but someone else says we can't hang out with them because they will never deliver in the interest of our people, then we will have a conflict over who we will name as the enemy. And that remains the underlying problem in our inability to unify. Because in most cases, our people have leads and roles to the people that we must get. We must get Rockefeller. But someone will say, no, not him. That remains the underlying difficulty, the inability to name the names of those who we are really after.
It seems to me that nobody, if you want to march on Rockefeller, that is nothing to stop you from doing that. If you want to mobilize people and make that case, then you ought to do that. I mean, we are free to fight back. And I say if it's marching on Rockefeller, or marching on Bush, the thing with the chain is non-activity. It is passivity. It is turning on each other.
Okay.
So I would agree that y'all fight back.
Well, I agree.
And that given groups need to want to be more than you.
consensus. Okay, no problem. It's not out of service. Let's take this opportunity to have this consensus.
Right.
And while we are fighting, somewhere we must prioritize who is the biggest problem. In other words, it's all right if the Coakley flank, no chasers, Rockefeller, the Trilateral, and the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Rhodes Scholar, the Southern Bones people,
right.
And let him rotate them. But if we never come to the prioritizing of the enemy, then people will misinterpret a camera and a newspaper and the attention focused on one set of people chasing the KKK, and the other people are left to make the others look like militants or radicals or kooks or crazies or untouchables or unwanted when they decide that they will chase the bottom of the problem and not the peripheral or the distraction sent from the problem.
I think that in that essence, because you know this college is still walk fast, but one thing that concerns me so much as I went around the various hospitals, even when we were in LA and looked at who was hurt and who was shot and whose families were grieving.
You get it?
Killed by another brother, he was ended up another stat.
You think we weren't in the same conversation? Not to set the brother up to do the hunky and good, right? Jeremiah.
I'm concerned that none of us kill any of us anytime.
I have no problem with that.
That's a real source of pain
no,
for me.
No
that,
problem with that.
That you know that there is in fact 4,000 of us were killed by white people in the country.
No problem.
If the black man wants to kill us, then we should be looking at the
black man to have
but if it's my own black, we are attacking each other with our tongues and with our dogs, it's not all right. And create comfort zones with each other is to make each other feel a sense of security in each other's friends.
Mr. Jackson, I raised a simple question about focusing on the primary core of our enemy. We had to take a shot early, we see the heart and not the big toe. In your discussion with me, you went off in the black on black thing. Now I'm trying to get us to agree that somewhere we in the race, some will be in on it, some won't. We will go away, we will prioritize who it is the biggest problem. And I will suggest that those of us who have studied, not been excited, but who have studied, are going to focus on the primary arteries of the people who were after. Some of them are down the street from the White House at the IMF and the World Bank. Some are at the Brookings Institute and the RAND Corporation and the Council on Foreign Relations. And those of us will go there, but we demand that there be a central focus on who these people are. Therefore, we won't get...
I think our mayors, who are trafficked to Brooklyn, of servicing, even a lot of people who are elected to serve, they return them.
There's no more to hear about that because they don't say nothing. He goes off on another dialogue about the mayors having the responsibility of delivering social service. Coming back. Now, I think you need to pick up on the fact that when given the opportunity to pin the tail on the hunky, you can get the impression that something we ain't never been able to get to the bottom of. Why these niggas ain't never come up with the right equation on the enemy and the appropriate strategy in lieu of it? The strategy has been bad because the equation is screwed. So when they stop the brothers from bringing a clear equation, they call the equation the divisive element, and the confusion continues.
Yeah.
Now, you must have a foot to call it to order. So, for example, I was having some trouble being clear with Leonard Jeffries. He seemed to have thought that I was too militant to be associated with whatever that meant. I don't know what it meant. I have this problem in some places. But he was down in Dallas recently, and he looked at the video from Dallas. He was sitting in the hotel, and we went through this little thing with Jesse Jackson, and he stood up and said, I think I have mistaken this Copley here. I think I now better understand the computation of the evidence. You see, I suggest at another point, this is evidence at the trial. The trial is what will happen when we win. We will try people for complicity. Because we will not repeat the mistake. See, I can't get no covenant with these hoes.
I can't do it. Because I know enough about them to know that unless they renounce prostitution, they'll turn a trick on me. You see, Sister Wignor, if I cheated on you and I was your man, sister, and I said, sister, will you take me back? If you take me back without making me confess my sins and take my pledge never to do it again, you'd be a fool. So how many times they gonna do it before someone recognize that because they not virgins, they can't never stop doing it?
There will, as long as you protect the oath.
That's
the sacred oath.
That's right.
In your society, you got more than one.
That's right.
One that holds the system in contact.
That's
you
right.
More than one.
All right.
You have your belief.
All right.
What you got is you had the Last Supper.
That's right.
You got to know the Masonic is and the base of the whole Masonic, what was all based on.
All right.
What was all that a base to buy?
That's right.
And it's
just,
you got to come back to the church and look at the church, because that is the biggest mechanism in the world, is the church, the Christian church concept. We take it as religion, but it's not. Nobody serves and get nothing out of Christian church but a white man. It's
actually
a white man and a white system.
Right.
That's the man didn't love the church, went to the boule. He's the man that went in there. He went there in secret, but he do go to church sometimes. But that was his secret oath himself, that he went to the white man. I will never be an enemy to you.
All right.
I would never challenge to change your system.
That's right.
That's what white supremacy is all about. That's why we say we have must change the whole philosophy of the school. You must be taught about you. When he's taught about him and educated to him, he won't do that, because he will represent him. When he represents him, he'll represent you.
Now, if you talk to me long, I'm going to have to share my feelings. I appreciate you, brother. Next time I come back, let me, you do the lesson.
Go ahead,
brother. But tonight, I'm going to do this. It took me 2 years to get this back.
Yeah.
I ain't going to ask you like a hell of a
guy. That's right, that old wagon. That old wagon load up. You know what I mean?
Got the long wagon.
Yeah, you got old wagon load up.
That's right.
You got to do them all.
That's right, we're going to get them back.
Yeah, all right.
It's just that moving moment. So you're right. Our people are still, they're ready to roll.
Tell us that it's crossed off.
You're on here.
This is the caller after me.
Yes, my man?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. I got two questions. One, I want to talk with fighting and taking direct action. So don't you agree we should prioritize our focus to place it directly on the people in the places where we can get some relief? And two, previous caller mentioned that we should be fighting the Council on Foreign Relations, but yet still when I look on the membership, it says that you're
one. No, every time I can be a part of finding out what's happening in the world, I will do that. But the Council on Foreign Relations, whatever it does.
Stop. Remember that phrase. Whatever it does. Remember that. Now, she didn't call him out as being in it. Now he's talking about it, but he don't really know what it do. Right? Okay. Y'all listen to this carefully. It's loaded with all kinds of clues to the leading into the Grecian Sphinx. We're going to go from here into the Grecian Sphinx.
Hey, well, I'm on membership. It says that you're on board the Council of Foreign Relations. Could you explain?
No, every time I can be a part of finding out what's happening in the world, and I will do that. But the Council on Foreign Relations, whatever it does, has nothing to do with the fact we are not making a priority on prenatal care with all these babies dying. And Head Start. And daycare. It has nothing to do with why we're not in a sustained drive to reduce tuition and increase teacher pay. And when I focus on that, I sense that to be the right thing to do.
Okay, now there's more to this, but you come to understand something, right? She lines it right up at the doorstep of the council, all he got to do is blow it open. And he steps all the way back and says, that has nothing to do with what's wrong with you.
The only problem is that it has everything to do with it. These are the gatekeepers at the people at the top, and to disassociate bad health care. Brother Bruce. Oh, it ain't you this time. Y'all got to hold it down a little bit for Brother Steve. So I don't end up shouting over you, all right? Has y'all got some good shit on there? We're talking about that.
That's the picture.
Oh, yeah, that's the other one. That's the Negro.
No,
door.
I'm going to come back
and come back. Oh, sure, you're right. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I got co-lecturers tonight. What you can see is that he disassociates the negative with a source, but he never will compute the evaluation of the source because he doesn't know what it does. But he knows it doesn't have anything to do with pain, which is a lie. It's an absolute lie.
So he's a buff.
Is that he's one of them little munchkins with wings that keep everybody off the wizard, because if you ever got up on him, you'd see he was a punk. That's the formula. If we could just pull the curtain, we got it. It's getting to the curtain. All right.
And when I focus on that, I sent that to be the right thing to do. There are 12,000 students at Howard and 13,000 at Lawton. It cost less than 10,000 a year to go to Howard. And I said, because it's one of the highest costs of black colleges in the country, about less than 10,000 a year, but 13,000 a year to go to Lawton. Well, I think that a massive drive to reduce tuition and increase scholarships will make a big statement to a large segment of our population. But while one population may be trying to go up and on to college to be able to make a contribution, another population needs something very different from that. Prenatal care, and Head Start, and daycare, and more funding for public education. You look at the gap between the amount of money paid for a teacher at Crespo in D.C., saving the contract to Montgomery County, that's an issue. But some people find that is for the intent.
Now they didn't cut the sister off. She's cut off. Now,
there are many priorities.
And he says, while you may prioritize that, there are many priorities. And what I said is we demand to have a priority of priorities on the enemy. See, when you stop, when you just stop everybody for a minute and say, who are we after? You're going to be stunned what they tell you. You'll be stunned. And it's a shame you ain't asked sooner. It really is, because you could avoid a lot of the pain if you just asked sooner. They weren't going nowhere. That's why they ain't went nowhere. They weren't going. They weren't headed for nothing. They never had a goal but give the money and contain the people of the money. That's it. And that's why all other shit didn't seem to be working, because it wasn't about that. It was about control. Control your ass. And don't else matter. Anyway, watch this. Now the host, he know he wouldn't dare ask about the CFR on his own, but watch how he uses the other callers to allow himself to ask.
Gap between the amount of money paid for a teacher of Crespo in D.C., say in contrast to Montgomery County, that's an issue, but some people find that is what they intend to engage in the fight. So while you may prioritize that, there are million priorities, and you got to respect people's choice of what they choose to fight on.
What does the capital fund, what does that council do? For the listeners who may not be aware of what I'm talking about.
I've never been to a meeting. I spoke to one of them and said,
I want to see if you heard. He said, I've never really been to a meeting, but I've spoken at one. Now, this is a mystery to me. I just have to ask you one question. Did I have to show up in the next meeting? Because if I could have done this any other way, I would have done it. I don't know how you can, I've never really been to a meeting. What does that mean? Say, I'm a virgin, I only did it twice. You know what I mean? I'm a vegetarian, I only eat chicken. Huh? I only cheated on my sister one time. What do that mean?
I've never really been to a meeting, but I spoke at one. Now remember, he earlier said, whatever it does. Now watch this. As he now, when the boy says it's in a conspiracy, he know enough about it to say, no, it don't do that.
What is this Capital Farm relationship? Two callers that made reference to that. What does that council do for the listeners who may not be aware of what I'm talking about?
I've never been to a meeting. I've spoken to one of them. And since the people who've been involved in foreign affairs, who analyze foreign affairs, who analyze foreign policy,
analyzing what happens with the information.
Well, sometimes they make it public. Sometimes they share information one with the other. But it's not, I mean, foreign policy determined by the State Department of the given administration. It's not by a, you might have...
It's an arm of the State Department.
No. Not at all.
Whatever it does.
No, it's not. When the State Department makes foreign policy.
Right.
Based upon the judgment of the given president, and that comes. The rule of that president, then that comes.
So does the council advise the State Department?
Not my knowledge.
Okay. I'm wondering how many listeners out there try to confuse this exactly what that, the council, the function of the council is. You served on it as an honorary member or what?
You know, I was asked to serve on some time back. I've never really been to a meeting, but I kind of know what it does. People do have a sense of the rule of thumb. Ambassadors and others who serve in countries who discuss the implications of a given foreign policy matter. But it's more academic than activist. It does not make one policy decision, nor is it an advisory group to say the
following. Okay. I want to ask you this,
Steve, huh? That's the last time you let me call in on this show. Steve, don't be calling him with that shit again. I said, but I thought you got your 2-3 licks in while we was up on the table. So I ain't like you didn't take a chance to ask what you knew was forbidden. Now, I raise the question with you. If we call them all in, they do the same dance. You just ain't never pressed them. You never pressed them. I think this is bigger than we ever thought. In fact, you can see it's not even logical. In fact, that leads me to a part where I know that the brothers have a radio show here in Philly, at least they did until Wednesday, where they mentioned Steve Coakley's lecture on the show, and what did they say after that, brother?
Well, what happened was...
Come on. You gotta do this because I'm suggesting this to you. You will never see the enemy till the last days when we try to ask. All you will see in the meantime is the buff. If you beat the buff, you will get the enemy. But you gotta beat the buff. And so the buff will come out. When you make the penetration, the buff will show up. When you call the question, the buff will look unquestionably guilty.
Basically, we had a station, you know, we had a show on AIDS Update on WPEV 88.1. Maybe some of the brothers and sisters are familiar. You know, we were kicking the knowledge, you know, because we learned from Brother Coakley here. He was pretty much our mentor, although he wasn't on site when he was doing it. We used to listen to his tape, and we said, this is how to kick the honky's ass, and this is how to expose these house niggas that's running us. So basically, we was doing this every show. We were hitting them hard. We got names. We was kicking names. We was kicking forecasts about how this white supremacy thing was going on and trapping us up in a genocidal cycle. Who was responsible for keeping black people on their ass? We was busting this out, right? And it was always, and then we got come to this point where we was even going to try to arrange to have Coakley on our show, right? All we did was announce his show. And Sister Atika Bay, you know, WPEB, a big turban-wearing punk dog who serves white supremacy, came up to our face and said, nah. He said, I ain't about, what I'm about is money. This is what I'm about, money. And this brother said, nah, well, I'm about the people, and we ain't going that way. And she said, well, I'm about money. And y'all promoting Steve Coakley, that's taking money out of my pocket. He said, I get federal funding for this. You see, there were two brothers on, and then she went like this and said, that's the, and then I was like, okay, so wait a minute, you advertise white stations, and they don't give you no money. He said, you can't tell me how to run my station. I said, okay, sis, look, it's basically like this. When it seems to us, we came to a consensus that you seem to be motivated by the actions of the Boulay and the Anti-Defamation League, and that's how we sum you up. And she said, what?
How dare you call me up and insult me and say that I'm a white loving boot licking and I said, see, that's rival. I didn't say that. See, what I said was you was motivated by the actions of the roommate. See, so this describes by your reaction how you feel in guilty, being guilty of these crimes. And she said, well, that's the show with you black people. She said that. She said, that's the show with you black folks. Always want to try to get on my show with that radical shit.
Quote unquote. Another thing too is, remember when Duck Quick Dick King had this, Brothers Rapping, 2 weeks ago? We went there and we stepped in Wilson Good behind. You're a roulette. You know what I mean? Now, this is supposed to be a Brothers Rapping thing, and we ain't about sitting down with traitors. You know what I mean? I mean, the whole thing was pointing out who's who and what's what. Okay, so the bottom line also with the show was that the roulette jumped on her case. Because they knew we would have been, you know, been broadcasting. It would have been a year next month. So, you know, they knew we were broadcasting on this station. So the bottom line, they turned the heat up on her. And being that she's about money, it ain't about uplifting fallen humanity through communication and success. It's about uplifting, you know what I mean, humanity through money. And that's the bottom line. So whatever y'all hear in the future about what happened to us, y'all know the real deal because y'all heard it from us. The bottom line is that, you know, this brother, I look at him as being a general. You know what I mean? The thing with me is this, I'm a soldier. You understand?
Brother Marcus. Brother Omar. Brother Omar. I need something, gravy or lemony. Yes, it's acting like we just got here together. Many people will see the tape and the videotape, wonder why everybody was so lightly greeting each other. It's because we have been talking for a while. And we have now stepped forward to have a discussion about the black male secret society known as Sigma Pi Phi, acronym The Boule, B-O-U-L-E. We will do our best to show you the information related to the Boule. That's what this lecture is about. I could give the entire lecture and quote every inch of the documentation without looking at it. I know them that well. But this is my responsibility, my night, to show you the information so that you could look at it with me and double affirm the fact that much of our black press, as much as we like it, has not been honest in talking about this group of black men, for they respect it very highly and never speak negatively against it. We also know that we've had many black people who've been a member of it and have never, ever broken the code or the creed and spoken to one who was a non-member. Though they pledge and swear that their goal is to represent you, you will have a hard time believing it when they don't even seek to let you know that they who help you are. And so, in July 18th, 1990, the Los Angeles Times did a front page story on the left column about elite fraternity of black men. Excuse me, brother. I saw that one get away. I'm just shaming myself. I stand back here. This elite fraternity of black men were described in the article as being influential, as being somewhat like Skull and Bones at Yale. And as it said these things, I was a little in awe, as the others, Brothers in African Minds United and the Coalition Against Black Exploitation, as we all were intrigued by the fact that this group of men could have been in existence and we not know about them. And even other brothers and sisters, I remember talking to a brother who had been National Executive Secretary of Sigma, Phi Beta Sigma, been in fraternity land 37 years, had heard nothing of the Boule ever, though its founder had been a member. And so, as we began to talk about it with other people around the country, we began to realize that people didn't know about it. How you doing, Brother Warren? And not knowing that people didn't know about it, we just assumed
that it was incidental, that everybody must know something about it, and that it was not mysterious or connected to all of those other things we had previously been talking about, like Cecil Rhodes and Baron de Rothschild and all the Halls of Haters, the ADL and the Diamond Jewish Connection. We've been talking about the Trilateral Commission, who is responsible for this economic summit that you'll be seeing on TV the next 3-4 days. You need to know that. Anybody? Carl Rohn came on the radio right here in L.A., and my friends jumped him, because we're jumping them in every city. And when they jumped him, he said the Trilateral Commission ain't done nothing. But the Trilateral Commission went to the president and had him set up the annual economic summit starting in 76, France. So when you listen to how your destiny of your country, they say, rides on that meeting, you wonder how Rowan could make such an allegation, but knowing as a boule in Washington, D.C. Epsilon chapter, his goal is to never speak of the high, white, and mighty whom the boule, all 3,300, are sworn to protect. Yes, these brothers that we are pushing up against the wall have taken a sworn oath that they will never expose the whites that they know actually run the world. They, in ambition and in deference to liberation and respect of the race, have agreed to maintain the status quo of white supremacy, which has two levels of white supremacy, a local, limited, parochial side, the Ku Klux Klan, the Reardons, the Kenny Hans, the local clans, but has a powerful, more mighty upper crust, which probably would include Occidental Petroleum and ARCO and Exxon and Mobil Oil and the Rockefeller Foundation and other influential, wealthy families and institutions. So what we're talking about is, why haven't you heard of those people who are in the secret society? It's because the people who you look to, who you would most suspect would tell you, have sworn that they never will. And because of that, that leaves the sub-leadership, the other group of people that you like a lot, that leaves them to tell you, the heads of the various organizations as you know them. But if you listen to them, they have never said of these black men, for that they did not know. Which means that Malcolm, we know, knew of these men. We know Marcus Garvey knew of these men, because their crowning most outstanding achievement was the physical elimination and castigation of Marcus Garvey, and the insistence and the climate setting that brought about the death of Malcolm X. For both of those men, international in perspective and insight, were a threat to the very whites that they're sworn to protect. You don't get killed for any other reason than jeopardizing the whites of the whites that run the world. Martin King, who was a boule, met the bullet, not for the civil rights thing, but for the international war thing that got two Kennedy boys killed also. So we're looking at a group of men who have protected murderers. So what is the crime of this boule? As we allege, as many of them say, why do you step to my doorstep and accuse me of these things, of which I know not? But their so-called limited understanding is in fact defiance, and woven into the oath that they swear that they will never even act like they know who these people really are. We have challenged these people on the radio, TV, in the street, on numerous occasions. Kurt Smoke, the mayor of Baltimore, Jesse Jackson, the head of the Rainbow Coalition, Cecil Murray, all the way down the line. These people that we have challenged have never been able to stand up and honestly turn around and say the truth to the matter. And we understand that. So our job is to come to you with the information so that you can make up your mind. There are several affirmations about this process that we must agree to. A Greek is a fraud. A Greek is a fraud. Now, there are a lot of people going to hear this all over the country. And they want to know, do you understand that a Greek is a fraud? So I want you to holler out if you think that a Greek is a fraud. A Greek is a fraud. Oh, let me try that one more time. You might not be ready because this is going to go to people all over the country. And they want to know, do you believe this? Because if you believe this, this comes to a certain conclusion that will produce other action, which you have affirmed. Is a Greek a fraud? Did the Greek steal from Kemet?
Yes.
Okay. If the Greek stole from Kemet and a Greek is a fraud, what then is the fate of those who have perpetrated the Greek in spite of the fact?
Fraud.
Ah, somebody finally caught on. Everybody hollered fraud. Okay, that's the crime, right. Somebody else gave a sentence. The suggestion is clear that the ebony 100 most influential ought to be minus 9. It ought to be the top 91. Because the 9 Greeks ought to back out while there's still time. I'm making a suggestion to the Greek connection, even to those in the room. You might be just an alpha or a sigma, or a zeta, or an AKA. You might just be a little Greek.
That's right.
But you are Greek nevertheless. And soon you're going to see. Because when someone tell me they're going to back up a move on the boule, the first move you're going to see on every telephone pole in L.A. is the Greek thing is dead. That's the first move you're going to see. And all the Greeks, the Alpha, the Kappa, the Omega, and the Sigma. Sigma, show you right. The AKA, the Zeta, the Sigma, Gamma, Rho, and the Delta. They will all be informed publicly. Please do not have a public manifestation of the Greek thing. Don't have a big dinner. Don't have a big reception. Don't put it in the paper that you're coming. Because I suggest to you that we're going to start to visit you at your things.
That's right.
And ask you to prove your Greek thing on the spot. In the back row will be the cameramen. Because everyone's going to need to see your faces when we show up. We might dress up like a Greek and act a little Greek so you can get a reflection of yourself.
That's right.
I said clearly, if you remember JFK, when they was running around playing Roman. All right. So we make a suggestion that we're in a process of penetrating a group of circles, and that these circles are webs which are numerous organizations just beyond the boule. You see, we have done it right here in this room. We have asked members of Greek fraternities to show the handshake to the others in the audience, and on every single occasion they have refused. And that goes to show that even though we may be in their best interest, there is a bridge that will separate us, which cannot be tolerated when we're under attack. We did the lecture, Africa 93. We showed that the white man is pushing colonialism without hesitation, and he's saying it publicly and openly. And under those circumstances, deviation can't be tolerated. So some of you who have asked, what can you do? Will be asked, can you go to the big white hotels where the Greeks give the other Greeks their money? Can you go down there with me on the night, Friday night, when they got the big dinner? See if we can get some answers for this Greek thing. Hold up some pictures of Greek and ask them, which one is their daddy? Or hold some pictures of some fallen combatants or Kibalans or Azanians and ask, do you support the ones that did this? We must confront our people, for it is our people that have tolerated the jam that we're in, and these people are at the top of our people as a guarantee from white people. Yes, the whites guarantee the Boule prosperity and notoriety. I'm telling you, we done put a lot of pressure on these people, turned a lot of them into flat tires. I saw one of the tires blown up last week in the L.A. Times, trying to put air back in a tire we flattened for supporting the Boule.
Check.
This is the founder of the Boule, Henry Minton. If this was color, you'd see he's light, almost white. Because in the early aspects of the organization, there was a lot of that. Henry Minton is the founder and so-called pioneer in spirit. Brother was kind, knowing I needed a pointer, of the organization Sigma Pi Phi. The head man of the organization is called the Grand Sire Archon. A-R-C-H-O-N is what a member is called after they have been inducted. They're an Archon. He was the Grand Poopah from 1908 to 1909, then became Grand Sire Archon Emeritus. The Grand Sire Archon is the head of the national Boule. The head of the local Boule is called Sire Archon. So the head of the LA chapter is Sire Archon. A member in any Boule is called just Archon. So if Archon is the member, Sire Archon is the local head, Grand Sire Archon is the only head, the titular head. The Grand Sire Archon and those other top positions of the Boule have absolute and supreme authority over every Boule chapter, which are called subordinate chapters. Every subordinate chapter of the Boule is compelled to respond to the wishes of the Grand Sire Archon and the executive committee. This is a discussion about what Minton was thinking about in 1904 when he wanted to set up the organization. This is from the history of Sigma Pi Phi. That's the history book of the organization. The history of Sigma Pi Phi is written by an alpha named Charles Wesley, who wrote that history book for A5A as well. Didn't he? Is there any alphas here? Yes, okay, he did write it, yes. In that, he said, in summary, Minton wanted to create an organization which would partake, in his own words, of, quote, the tenets of Skull and Bones at Yale. Now, in the July 18th article on Skull and Bones, on the Boule in the LA Times, and I'm going to show you the original article that we first found on the subject. And I want to show you what it says, because in the article, you get the impression. And I just want to, when they say Skull and Bones at Yale, that's what they're talking about. That's the logo for Skull and Bones at Yale. Now, who would want to be patterned after that? Because that doesn't look positive to me. Now, you're already a damn Greek. Now you done went and got some poison. So that's a double header. Okay, I'm looking for you this opening article. Here we go. This is a little hard to see when I'm up here, so it's a little difficult. Let me take this off. It's a little warm in here. Even warmer up here. This is the original LA Times article. Everybody see that? Did you see that when it ran in 1990?
Yeah.
You did see it? No, you didn't.
What's the date on it?
That's July 18th, 1990. Elite Fraternity Widens Agenda of Black Men. This is the original article that came out on the boule that we just casually discussed here at the Good Life, which led to this penetration. Because by the time Brother Oswald gets up and starts decodifying a little of that symbolism, you will see that we have in fact cracked a riddle that has contained our people. Our people have been contained by an organized element of secret people who have used riddles, mysteries, and secret societies to jam us. And what we are doing is we are unlocking or decodifying the mystery, because once decodified and exposed, those who were secret in the light will not be as effective, which must be our goal, since liberation is not theirs. You can't liberate as a Greek. You can't liberate in the name of Greece. So you may, everybody say, well, you know, Steve is really a black thing. It may be. But you ain't going to liberate called A5A. Yeah. Now, watch this. Now come the men of Sigma Pi Phi, a once secret black fraternity. That celebrates the professional and material success of black men. Have we had much material success? Well, anyway, you can just see how they spend their time. They have big, every year, they have big picnics, big annual picnics every chapter. We need to find the park where the new chapter, the LA chapter meets that, because they're going to have a big picnic somewhere. Preferably in the Greek neighborhood. So we have to find where they're going to be at, so we can go to the picnic. Don't you want to go to the boule picnic?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Known as boule, pronounced boule, the group is here. See, boule, boule, B-O-U-L-E. Known as the Boule, the group is here this week for its biennial meeting. And it's look at an agenda for the black male in the 90s. Now, Lewis Sullivan, who is head of Health and Human Services, is a Boule member. In fact, a little later on, you'll see him talking about him speaking. It's not in this one, it's in the other one, where he's speaking. They're talking about Lewis Sullivan's name right there. U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services, Lewis Sullivan. Well, this was about assisting the young black male. Says, are focusing more on social activism. Too many young black men, said the civil rights group, are underemployed, alternatively feared, and reveled, and living at a risk. So they're going to help young black men. So how did Lewis Sullivan try to help young black men? The National Violence Initiative. He sought to chemically bust their skulls open and penalize them for being chemically imbalanced, which means they were disturbing the Greeks. How many of you all saw ABC last night? I asked everybody to watch the program, which was talking about the violence initiative. And did you see the story after that, too? Which was just as deep. The sister from Chicago working for the Koreans, paid by the United Way. Just like we talked about on the radio. And there was a white man saying that we're not going to let certain prisoners out of jail until we prove they're chemically balanced. Now you imagine you done your time and a motherfucker telling you you 40 degrees off balance. Oh, brother, this is deep. This sounds funny, but if we don't get together and kick some ass, they're going to cut all us open. We all going to be walking around like this here. We act a little like this now, only we do the bunking. Now, watch this. Watch this. Watch this. This I thought was interesting. Almost sounds accidental. Like Yale Skull and Bones, secret society to which George Bush belongs, the Boule has been criticized by some as a social anachronism and has challenged members to change its image. Like Yale Skull and Bones secret society. You see, when you hear that, that almost sounds like, it's probably like Yale Skull and Bones. But then when you actually see that it isn't just like it, it was made like it. You see what she did? You see how the article kind of hid the fact that it was pledged to be like Skull and Bones at Yale. See, like Yale Skull and Bones, it doesn't say patterned off of or vowed on the tenets of. It doesn't affirm it as well as we found it when we got the damn book. You see, someone said, well, brother, now we got the article. What more will we need to look for? Is that once someone that we don't like writes something, we know there are 10 times more things there once we get it. Anybody that looked at anything, I try to look over it because my eyes look for different things. And all of these people together. Now, I must tell the story again for the record for those who don't know. I lectured at Morgan State. I left here in Los Angeles, went to Morgan State in Baltimore, gave a lecture. By Christian Gregory, who was just in the jet. Dick Gregory's son was the head of the student government there, brought me there to Morgan State. I did the little piece on the Boule. A sister in the audience heard the lecture, went to her teacher, who was asking her to write a term paper. She said, I'm going to write it on the Boule and Skull and Bones, because I heard the guy mention it at the lecture hall. And he said, well, I'm in the Boule. I can't wait to see it. He asked to take her to lunch. He's a very nice-looking sister. He asked to take her to lunch. She called me up. I come back to L.A. She called me here in L.A. at the hotel. Asked me what should she do. I asked her if she could have lunch with him without lifting up her skirt. Because that's what the Boule wanted. Wanted the Boule. Sister proudly called that she had gotten a history book from him, which has a huge blue cover. It's coated in blue. Their colors are blue and white. It's a big blue color. We know blue as the color that represents the lower lodges of Freemasonry. Those are the blue lodges, the 1, 2, 3 lodges. And we know the tenet that holds the blue lodge together is the code of silence. That's what holds the blue lodge together. That's all they learned. The secrets have not really been taught them, because they're not taught to them till later on, but they think they know. But the 1, 2, 3 lodge is about testing their ability to keep the damn mouth shut.
That's right.
All right, you give me a check on that.
Yeah.
That's why the United Nations is called the Blue Helmets.
That's right.
That's why the police are the Men in Blue, or the Blue Lights.
Check.
Because that's what they, and that's why their organization is called the Fraternal Order of Police.
Ooh.
And I don't know what Willie Williams thinks, but if you take a white boy that's been my enemy, that supported Gates, supported every beating of your head every time, and make that asshole motherfucker deputy mayor over the brother.
That's right. Ooh,
I'm telling y'all in big trouble. Y'all excuse my language, but I wanted to emphasize. I wanted to emphasize the danger of the head of the Fraternal Order of Police becoming deputy mayor for public services.
That's right.
You might not care about politics, and I don't either. They're all whores.
Correct. That's right.
But we better not let them turn a trick and one of them legs kick us in the face. So for no other reason, do it for that reason. Boule is a Greek word designating a council of community leaders who advise kings. Now a question ought to come up. I understand what a counselor does, but who the fuck is the king? Now, we have a tape where, you all remember the book called Black Power?
Yeah.
It's written by who? And Charles Hamilton. Very good. Charles Hamilton, 4 years after he wrote Black Power, joined the Boule. As he then went, started making $100,000 with the Rockefeller Foundation. He went on Bob's Law Show recently in New York, and the Coakleyites in the bowels of Brooklyn, Harlem, and the other bowels of New York jumped him on the Bob's Law Show about this Boule thing. And they misstated the challenge by saying, I think it's a Latin word. And he said, yeah, it's a Latin word. But we know it's Greek. He gave them the decoy. They said, who is the king that you serve? And he said, I don't really know nothing about that king thing. We don't serve any king. I mean, we have meetings and stuff, but we don't know of any kings. Well, why then do you call yourself that? In your own history book, you will see that you call yourselves the advisors to the king. And the question comes up, if it ain't so, why do you say so? But see, basically, they don't think you have the information. Oh, just for the record. The day the Boule was founded, for those of you who do numerological analysis, and I know some of you are into the numbers, the historic date of the founding of the Boule, for the record, is May 15, 1904. That is the birth date of Sigma Pi Phi, and it should be written indelibly on the memory of all members in the fraternity. This day was, for Boule, its founder's day. For on this day, the decision was made to establish this first of the fraternities for college graduates. This date, or the date of the May meeting nearest May 15th, has been celebrated as Founders Day. Now, if you all were at AMU one night that we did a lecture called L.A. Boule Coup d'Etat Implications, where I talked about the coup d'etat and the JFK movie and about the Boule, and there was a guy sitting in the front row who was in the Boule.
That's right.
And he said to the audience that he doesn't even read his history book. But we know from the history book that every chapter must review the history book during the month of May. But again, they never count on you having the history book, so they don't answer you as if you know. The answer is if you don't know or never know. That's why they don't like us like they do. Because we're arming you and putting you in a position to demand answers to questions that they never expected they'd have to give up.
That's right.
This is compelling. We're going to look at some codified things that they talk about. There's some funny things they say. From their history book is another dialogue we want to look at. This is, as you can see, History of Sigma Pi Phi. As you see, I write on my stuff. The things you read, write on. Talk to it. Hold it for a while. Quit throwing it away as soon as you get it. In your house, there's a lot of pressure not to be junky. You'd rather be dead than junky. You'll be dead because you won't read and study, and you don't study because you don't store it. How can you study unless you store it? So because you have pressure to be neat and cool and clean and look like Ultra Sheen, you throw away the information and fight the dustbusters. I suggest your houses need to get slightly more junky.
That's right.
As you start taping on the wall the information so you can study it, sleep it, dream it, wish it. Pray for the right that you're given to axe the night we have to slay Goliath's head. Pray you get a slash.
That's right.
Your children are going to ask you, Mama, Daddy, where were you when the liberation came down? Were you in on the victory?
That's right.
Have something to tell your children.
Check. Check.
Check. Page 38 of the history book. In the building of the organizational plan. See, what was the niggas thinking about? That's right. What was the niggas thinking? Because you gonna sit up in 1904, just got your ass whipped in Reconstruction, just had Africa divided up before your very eyes, colonialized up the butt just after the fake emancipation, civil war, slavery, some still in slavery, you can't pee in a white toilet, you can't eat in a white restaurant. This is fucking 54 years before Rosa Parks. You understand what we what period we in?
Right.
We talking about you got to lean way over to go Greek.
That's right.
There ain't even no radio or TV yet, so somebody had to tell you about them. You couldn't even read about them. You couldn't see nothing about them or hear nothing about them. There was no TV and no radio in 1904. So when you're talking about you going to set yourself up like tenants of Skull and Bones at Yale, you better believe somebody in around this Boule, and we checking on this history of mention, may have been a Skull and Bones at Yale's damn self.
Right.
Passing for what? In the building of the organization plan, reliance was placed upon Greek history and tradition. See, a nigga tell you. Ask them niggas in that. I say, now look. Hey, in the fraternity and sorority thing, hey, y'all really Greek or y'all like African on the slide? They say, no, brother, it's really African.
The white Chevrolet
blocking
the car,
they
can't get out.
Is that you, brother? Check. Okay, we're straight. Thank you, sister. And so, this is the first of the Greek thing. This is the granddaddy of the Greek thing. Here it is. That we see that they placed how much on the organizational plan, reliance was placed on Greek history. So when you confront them, they're going to swear it ain't a Greek thing. And you're going to tell them, say, well, I seen your thing, And I know your thing is Greek from the jump. And no subordinate boule, Archon, can ever deviate from the structure and the guidelines laid down by people in the organization higher than them. Never does a private disrupt the sergeant, who does not fuck with the lieutenant, who does not contradict the general, who does not talk back to the major. And how many stars a general you are, don't talk against the president. So when you're in a hierarchy, you are controlled from the top down. The bottom could be honest people, but they must do what the top tell them. That's the deal. So if you're in the army, you know it's someone over you. Even if you Colin Powell. Colin. I'm holding my colon. Come on, okay. Oh, you know what, brother? Anyway, I think that I'm in some of the water. Okay. Let me see if I can tighten that up a little bit. Okay. The reasons for this action are not difficult to discover. For it was well known that the study of Greek civilization was basic to an acquaintance with Western civilization. Which means, what do that say?
They had to get with Whitey.
Say, we better learn Whitey if we're going to get with Whitey. Check?
Check.
And all who came after them is Whitey on the sly. Somebody get mad and throw their rings back and shit and reveal all the secrets. But you have been told that the other members will beat you if you do. And I tell you now, if one of you break away from them funky fake Greek organizations and someone even threatens you, please tell me, we will show them the law.
That's right.
The law.
That's right.
This ain't Constitution. This is the law. Acquaintance with Western civilization. Although Greek culture had relations with the culture of the Orient, hold it now. Seemed like they skipped over somebody. Let me go back. You see, this might not just be an affirmation of Greek, but this is a denial of Africa. This is more than just, I'm for this. This is, I must not even recognize any other. Thou shalt worship no idols before the Greek. Right. And then go jump over to the Orient. Ain't that some shit? Look at this shit.
There it is.
Let me go back. The reasons for this action are not difficult to discover, for it is known that the study of Greek civilization was basic to an acquaintance with Western civilization, although Greek culture had relations with the culture of the Orient. Moreover, the Greeks were successful in their creation of free institutions. God damn it. Brother Oshawa-Kwesi, were the Greeks successful in building free institutions? In fact, in the story on colonialism is back, and not a moment too soon, they brag that the Greeks were the first colonialists. The first colonialists. Moreover, the Greeks were successful in their creation of free institutions and of organized city-states. Those were colonial states. They organized colonies. They forced people to serve them. They turned it over to the Roman. Reference was made repeatedly by Dr. Jackson and his five associates. There were six members in the starting of the boule. Six members in the starting of the... Isn't that strange they took such a number? Couldn't have found us another one. It was in this, Dr. Jackson and his five associates, to the heroic and early age of Greece. It was this period that the concept of the boule was formed. This was the council of chiefs, the leading noblemen of the heads of families. The boule of Homeric times was a body of princes who were advisory to the king. So when we asked them who's the king, they said, well, where'd you get that from? In Solon's time, the Athenian boule was a senate of elected men who numbered 400. 100 from each of the four Ionic tribes. They prepared bills for the action of the popular ecclesia. Their number was later increased to 500, chosen by lot, and again was reduced to 300. The name has persisted in Grecian history. In modern times, the lower house of the Parliament of Greece, a body of 250, was known as the Boule. In modern times,
lower.
The what house?
Lower house.
Lower.
What does that mean by definition?
It's just somebody on the second
floor. That there's somebody on the second floor, these niggas on the first floor. That means that when we talk about that they take the position of being a Grecian sphinx, we understand they're blocking for another person who got the ball. And that's the mystery to the Boule as to why they will never own up who really has it, because they think if you don't know who got the ball, you won't know what to tackle. So their goal is to knock you down and assure that their white man can score touchdowns. In England, House of Lords, House of Commons, the Senate, the Congress, the owner of the plantation, the overseer. Understand this. Understand. Imagine you're on a plantation and there's a guy on a horse with a whip making sure you're working.
White House.
And never thinking about who's in the house and never seeking to overthrow what they know was illegal. Counselors had to pass an examination in which their past lives were passed in review. We know that in Skull and Bones at Yale, when you do your initiation, you have to lay in a coffin butt naked. And you have to talk about your past lives, and everyone has to hear compromising stories about yourself that you tell other members to protect you from ever getting out of line. You seal your secrets in all the members. So there's a lot of homosexuality going on. I know Irwin France, who's a big-time Boule in Chicago, is big-time homosexual. Big-time. Big-time. An oath was taken to observe the laws, to give advice according to his best.